Bowery Capital Startup Sales Podcast with your host, Evan McElwain.
Welcome back to the Bowery Capital Startup Sales Podcast. I'm Evan McElwain, Bowery Capital's Director of Growth. And this week, we're joined by Morgan Ingram to talk about prospecting with videos. Great to have you on the show, Morgan.
Hey, happy to be here, man. What's happening?
So, Morgan, for those that don't know about you already, tell us about your background and your current company, JB Sales Training.
Yeah. So I'm the director of sales execution evolution at JB Sales. I've been there for 3 years now, which is crazy. It's pretty nuts. And so what I do is I go and train teams on top of the funnel strategies and how to be innovative and creative to break the noise. Clients that you may have heard of these logos before, Salesforce, Google, Slack, those are the type of companies that I'm and we are training over at JB Sales. And my background is I started off as an SDR, a sales development rep, on how to prospect, top of the funnel, get in front of people, et cetera. So that's where I started. And then now I'm training a lot of people in those roles today.
Awesome. And Morgan, one thing we always like to ask our guests is what is one thing that no one listening to this podcast will know about you?
So I used to sell Pokemon cards and Yu-Gi-Oh cards back in middle school and high school. And I made actually a good amount of money on it. So a lot of people don't know that. I mean, I've shared it a couple of times, but not a lot of people know that I was a huge, huge Pokemon seller. Like, and we had like a team of people. It was aggressive.
I love that. So were you actually managing other people who were kind of selling on your behalf?
Yeah, no. Yeah. I mean, I went to private school. So we did the private school that we sold. And then other people in public schools started to get wind of like what I was doing. And they're like, oh, it was like, cool. Like, this is our process. Cause you're not going to be successful if you don't have a process in how to sell these cards. Like, you got to know the economics. And so I was like, hey, I'll tell you what the economics are, but you know, we gotta work on cuts here. So yeah, I had like a shoebox full of money. My parents were like, how are you making all this money? And I'm like, Pokemon cards. I don't really know what to tell you. So we were out here. It was fun.
That's amazing. So Morgan Ingram, folks, been in the sales game for a very long time. So Morgan, let's dive into our topic today. So prospecting with video. I'm especially excited to chat with you on this, given that you train a ton of sales reps, as you mentioned, on how to effectively leverage video in their outreach. And I know it's something that you've been championing for a really long time. Well, let's just start with the basics. You know, what are we talking about when we say prospecting with video, and why should sales reps or founders that are listening care about the topic?
So you should care about the topic because we're moving into a virtual world. There's a couple stats I'll throw at you all. So we found that 1/3 of people are watching video more than they ever have. We also have seen that 82% of internet traffic will come from video in 2022, right? So we're starting to move more towards that, which again is pretty interesting. I saw that stat. It was 2020, but they changed it to 2022 now. And then as well, what we're also seeing is that viewers retain 95% of the message with video versus 10% with text.
Wow.
So it's pretty interesting, right? So yeah. The thing is, like, if someone watches a video, they're going to remember you. Versus what if I just sent you an email, which
right.
Most people are starting to not view as much. Reply rates are going down, right? And so video is a way, what I tell people is a virtual handshake, because we're not going back to events for a while, man. Face-to-face events? Like, when do you think we're going to go back?
Gosh, I mean, I was just reading that political article yesterday about kind of how COVID will end. And, you know, they're thinking it could be until big events. It could be a few years.
Yeah.
I mean, like, really far out.
Like, I'm a huge music festival person. I used to go every quarter. That's probably not going to happen for a long time.
Yeah.
Right. So I got to do my little, I got to get my concert fixed. And so think about the big vids, like a Dreamforce, the Facebook events, like that's going to be a while.
Yeah.
Right. And a lot of people's pipeline, it comes from events.
Yeah.
So why is that? Because you're meeting someone face to face. So what's the closest thing? Video. Reaching out to someone with video is key. Now we're going to talk about video prospecting here today, but there's also not just video prospecting. There's video to do a proposal, video to handle objections, video in your mid-sales cycle, video to introduce yourself. There's a lot of different ways you can use it, not just to reach out to somebody.
Got it. So not just the first touch, but actually once you get somebody in your sales process, you can continue to leverage video to move the deal along.
It's actually better in the sales cycle, right? And I've talked a lot about in terms of prospecting. It's the prospecting based on the Vineyard study. It's the number one thing that people see it as is like, I'm going to use it for prospecting. Where I feel like people miss out on it from an AE perspective is, no, you can go use this for the middle of your sales cycle, at the end of the sales cycle. And I think a lot of, again, people just miss that piece.
Cool. And just to make sure everybody's kind of on the same page and level setting, when we say prospecting with video or leveraging video in your process, we're not talking about sort of your animated overview video of the company, right? We're talking about personalized videos that you recorded briefly, specifically for the person that you're sending it.
Yeah. So let's go with that. Cause that's key, right? Cause some of you guys are going to be like, oh, well, I got to go get a studio. I need to go get an editor. And like, it's not like that. So what you're doing here for a prospecting video, right? So we'll talk about top of the funnel is you want to see this as a movie trailer. So I want you all to think about like, what's your favorite movie trailer?
Oh man.
And really think about this.
Yeah.
Right. Mine's Inception. So Evan, I'll let you think about it. Right. Come back to me when you get it. Right. So the thing is like, I want everyone to think about this. Like, what is your favorite movie trailer, right? And so with the movie trailer, what's its goal? Its goal is to pique your interest. So Inception, I was like, I don't know what's going on. I got to go see it. The other one that was probably a top tier movie trailer, and it's actually ranked as a top tier movie trailer, is Pacific Rim. No one had any idea what that movie was about. Like, the trailer did not map up to like what the movie was.
Right.
And that's how good it piqued your interest, right? So when you think about a prospecting video, it's a movie trailer.
Yeah.
When people think about videos, they think about, oh, I got to make a 3-5 minute video to the prospect. No, it's just less than 90 seconds, 45 to 60 seconds.
Got it. And all about piquing the interest. You're not trying to give them the full summary. It's not a report about the movie. It's just piquing their interest with the trailer so that they want to learn more or they want to go see the whole thing.
Exactly. Because if you think about a trailer, they don't show you all the characters.
Yeah.
You don't know the storyline. They normally don't show you the funniest scenes. Some movie trailers show you the funniest scenes because it's a bad movie. So you already know like, okay, the movie's going to be bad. But the thing is like, it doesn't show you everything. And it's just to be like, okay, I got to see what this is about, which moves into the movie, right? Because once I watch the movie trailer, I'm like, cool, I want to go see the movie. So if you do a prospecting video, right? Oh, this was a good video. Now it moves to the sales call.
Yeah, I love that analogy. So Morgan, it seems like there has been buzz around using video for quite some time, right? Like I remember back in my SDR days several years ago, testing out Vidyard, and it was going to be kind of the next big thing was using video and prospecting. But at least to me, it doesn't really seem like it's quite hit full on mainstream in nearly the same way as other channels, right? Like when you think about somebody's typical outreach cadence, you're likely going to see some kind of omni-channel approach of email, cold calling, and LinkedIn, still the main three. And even when I look at the cold outreach that I get incoming to me, it tends to fall in those buckets and I get way fewer videos. So I wanted to get your opinion. Why hasn't video caught on the same way as these other channels yet? And in a way, is that what actually still makes it such a compelling tool is because it allows reps, as you like to say, cut through the noise.
So it's still compelling because, first of all, I know some of you guys are like, well, Morgan, is that the real stat? I don't have the real stats on this. This is just my take. I think only 8% of sales reps are using video consistently in their process.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So with that, if you are able to understand it and master it, you will break and cut through the noise because no one else is doing it. Now, the reason a lot of people don't do it is because they say it takes too much time. Okay. Well, my thing is I tell people you have to create time. And that doesn't mean I'm saying you can't like create 28 hours, 32 hours. I'm saying look at your schedule and create that time. There's probably an hour where you're just not doing anything, right? Yeah. There's probably 30 minutes that you could use to make two videos, right? So just think about it in this way. And this is what I encourage people to do. Like if you do the math on this, it's very simple. It's all about being consistent, which is the hardest thing to do in life is being consistent. So let's say if you made 5 videos a day, that's 25 videos for the week. And that's 100 videos for the month. That's 1200 videos for the year. So let's say you got a 10% reply rate. That's 120 meetings,
yeah.
120 responses possibly, right? Let's say, okay, Morgan, well, every response didn't lead to a meeting. Okay, let's half that, right? So the thing is like, you got 60 meetings that you scheduled for the entire year. That's people's entire quota.
Yeah.
And all you did was 5 videos a day.
Right. And to your point, the videos are sort of a minute or less. So if you put in the prep to do a process and create some structure around it, it's not taking you half an hour to do a video. It should take you a minute or two.
That's it. Right. Yeah. So the thing is like, that's what I did as an SDR. I got to 10 videos a day and I was hitting over quota. People are like, how are you doing it? Well, I'm just making 10 videos in the morning.
Yeah.
Sounds overwhelming, but it really isn't.
Right.
So it's like really about, are you willing to create time? Are you willing to be consistent? Are you willing to try this out when it doesn't work in the beginning and really create a sample size to test? Okay, this is not working for me or if it is. Most people, Evan, at the end of the day, they stop after 10 because they said it doesn't work for them.
Right.
And they go back to the emails and the calls, but then they send thousands and thousands of emails and only have a 1.5% reply rate. Yeah, because emails are a lot easier to send out. But if you're sending thousands of emails and you have a 1.5% reply rate, that's below industry standard. That's because industry standard is 2-4%. So now you're wasting even more time. You're burning through accounts when you could be making some quality videos, 5 a day. I'm not even asking for thousands. I'm asking for 5. Yeah. 5 videos a day. Everybody can do this.
Right. No, I love that. And you touched on an interesting point that I want to dive into deeper a little bit later, which is from a data perspective, how do you measure success? When is enough? But we'll get into that in a little bit. So Morgan, we've talked a little bit about the what and also the why. I'd love to now get into the when and the how. So yep. Let's start, maybe we start high level. We can talk a little bit more strategic and then we can get into some of the more tactical stuff. So yep. How should sales reps think about how video fits into their broader prospecting and outreach strategy?
Yep. So we'll talk about the prospect again, right? So if you're thinking about it that way, what I recommend people is have it as a third or the fourth touch.
Okay.
I tell people to never do it as a first touch. And here's why. Because I'm always very cautious of giving advice to people on doing it on the first touch, because you may be targeting someone in security, IT, data. And a lot of our clients target those individuals. So I understand that. If you're reaching out to sales leaders, you know, you could try this out as a first touch. But if you're reaching out to someone first touch and they're in security or IT, they're probably not going to click the video anyways. It's going to be a waste of your time. Mm-hmm. So, and most emails, right? They will blacklist you. They'll put you in spam for a link. So really what you want to do here is you want to have it as a third or fourth touch and warm them up with emails and calls and things of that nature. So then it allows you to be more successful.
Got it.
And so that's really the route that I would tell people to go into, because then it allows you to start getting responses, getting engagement, and all those things across the board. That's the key part. And you could do it from a strategic view, either through email or through LinkedIn video. Mm. Now you have to be connected to the prospect in order to do this, but you could still do the LinkedIn video. So normally I recommend people, hey, LinkedIn video, second or third touch, email video, third or fourth touch. But the thing is, as you guys see here, I'm not doing it as my first touch from a strategic standpoint.
You touched on how the use of video and the effectiveness may partly depend on who the buyer persona is that you're going after, and that there may be some personas like IT or folks that are in security that are going to be less receptive to it because they may not even click it to begin with. Let's talk about that a little bit more. Are there certain personas where you think video is especially relevant and some that you think maybe not waste your time just based on the work that you do with your clients today?
If you're targeting someone in marketing, sales, or HR, you should be doing video every single day. Like if you're not, there's no questions on this. Marketing people, they like seeing creative things, right? Sales people, they want to see innovative approaches. HR people, they're going to like that, right? Too. Everyone else, okay, IT, security, data, that's where we're now trending towards something different, right? There's obviously these other personas that we could talk about too, but they fall into the same buckets. Normally it's like a marketing, sales, and HR, but let's go to the technical side, because that's where people get like, okay, like what do I do here? So on the technical side, there's two things you can do. One is if you have a sales loft, outreach, yesware, whatever you have that could track emails. I tell people if an email gets over 2 views, move it to a separate cadence. Mm. So what you're doing is you're looking for things with heat or high interest.
Yep.
Okay. Oh, you're over 2 views. Cool. Now I'm going to move you to a different cadence here and send you a personalized video.
Yep. Love it.
So that's going to allow you to not make as many videos as well. And then number two is an add-on to one, but also it can be separate of one, is have a call to action to the video itself, especially if you're targeting people in IT and security. So what I mean by that is you write out your email and say, hi, whoever, I made you a video about whatever. It's less than 60 seconds, I promise. Then say, would you be opposed to clicking the video to see what I have to say? So what I'm doing here is I'm saying, hey, if you're not opposed to it, click it. If they are opposed to it, they'll email you and say, hey, I'm opposed to it. And then you have a normal conversation. And then now they don't see the video and it's fine. But by having a call to action to the video itself, it's going to set you up for success.
That makes a lot of sense. And I really like the idea, especially when you think about this in the context of an early stage startup. Resources are tight, people have limited bandwidth, just really narrowing in on the specific touch points that are getting more heat and more interaction, and really narrowing in on those to actually invest the time in making videos makes a ton of sense.
Absolutely.
Now that we've kind of got an idea of how this fits in with, as a sales rep, the rest of my strategy and when to use it, let's actually get into some of the nitty gritty of how to actually execute this. So Morgan, when you're training sales reps on how to leverage video, let's talk about prospecting for now, Walk us through your tips for actually creating and sending these personalized videos to a prospect. You mentioned a couple bits here and there of the link that it should be and maybe the medium they should use, LinkedIn or email.
Yep.
But would love to kind of get into the nitty gritty for how folks should actually be executing on this.
Yeah. So let's get very tactical here. So
let's do it.
What I do is I tell people to just follow this formula. This formula is very simple. The people that I've given this to, they've seen success. So all you have to do is follow this formula. Now, if I give you this formula, you don't follow this formula, like, you can't be like, Morgan, it didn't work. Like, you got to follow this formula, right? You can't go rogue. So it's just called the 10-30-10. So it stands for 10 seconds, 30 seconds, 10 seconds. Super simple. So what I'm doing is in the first 10 seconds, I'm going to figure out what's the reason for this video. If you don't have a reason for the video, then no one's going to watch the video and you shouldn't be making it, right? So we want to make sure there's a reason for the video when we're talking to somebody. Hi, Evan. The reason for my video is... goes into value prop, right?
Yep.
So that's that piece. Now, where are you going to find those reasons? If normally all your videos should be personalized, what I tell people. So something on their website, something on their LinkedIn, right? Something on Twitter, whatever that is, right? So that's a way that you can then progress to get really successful there. So the reason for my video is, now the middle part is the value prop or the elevator pitch. And this is super simple to get, right? You already have them in your cold calls. You already have them in your emails. You're just going to insert that in the video. So if you don't have an elevator pitch or you don't have a value prop, to give you context on that, so let's reverse engineer it, is that what you want to do is take that value prop, take that elevator pitch that you are going to create and map it from personas. So what does your persona care about? What does your industry care about? And then map it to your value prop in your attention grabber, make it one sentence and then put it right there in the middle. So that's what that is there. That's what you're offering. And then number 10, right? So 10 seconds here is your call to action. Now, what we found in the call to action is you're asking for interest and not asking for the meeting. There's a 30% success rate when you ask for interest versus a 15% success rate when you ask for a meeting. So if you do the math there, we want to ask for interest. So the thing is, what you want to do is say, would you be open to learning more? That's an option you can take. Or one that we've found to be really helpful for our clients is, would you be curious to have a deeper dialogue on this topic? These are things that you can do to start seeing success with your videos.
Got it. That's really helpful. And it's interesting just to hear you talk about some of the best practices, even just around like the elevator pitch and also the asking for interest instead of asking for time. Because these are a lot of the same principles that apply to email, right? And yep. Email best practices of, you want to keep your value props succinct. You want to have social proof. You want to mention ROI. Right.
If notice how it all comes relevant together.
Yeah, it's the same kind of psychology around video that folks should be using for email if they're not already. And I love the asking for interest. I'm a big fan of Gong's research and love that piece by Devin Reed where they get into that.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Are there any other pieces here around... I've seen some tactics of like using a whiteboard that has the prospect's name on it. Like, are there things like that that people should be trying, or like, what are your opinion on these other tactics?
So I'm gonna bring something up, and then I want you all to consider something as I'm talking about this, because you've noticed that this conversation, I've done it quite a bit. Study other industries and also study your own life and how you view things. And so the reason I'm telling you all that is because when you do a video, you want to pay attention to that thumbnail. Most YouTube videos you click on, not because of the title, it's because of the thumbnail.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, that thumbnail looked really cool. I got to check this out, right? The thumbnail is really important. So I believe, right, whiteboards in SaaS tech are starting to get played out. I'll debate on with that with anyone, but it's been around for like 4 years. It was around when I started doing it, right?
Same.
So it's been around for a while, right? But if you're in a different industry, oh, definitely the whiteboard, because no one's going to be ready for it. But people have seen it quite a bit. So I've told people to make it simple, right? Get like a sticky note and put it in front of the video. You can do that. There's also some software out there. I think it's called Cam Snap or Snap Cam. I think it's called, is where you can customize your thumbnail and add like, hi, whoever, and you can have not a whiteboard, but like something different there. So what I'm telling you all is, think about your thumbnail. Make sure that you're smiling, right? I do a smile, I do a wave. Like, that's my thumbnail. I look approachable, but really think about what you look like, because that's going to be the first impression before they even click the video.
Yep. And it makes a lot of sense. And I love that this is something that we've talked about before, but kind of using those other, just your own life experiences, right? And, you know, thinking about the movie trailers that you find exciting, or thinking about the YouTube videos that you click on, what is it that makes you tick to engage? It's just super relevant.
Yep.
All right. So we've talked about some of the strategic pieces of when and where to use video. We've talked about some of the tactics of, okay, how do you actually structure your videos and execute? Now let's talk about how do you measure success, right? How do you know if it's working? So if you're doing, you know, 5 videos a day, we're not doing, you know, crazy, like thousands of videos each week or each month, similar to your, how your email volume might be. So is there a certain, you know, volume threshold where you consider, okay, that's meaningful data to determine whether a particular sales rep or a company or a buyer persona that they're targeting.
50 is what I tell people. So I say, hey, get to a sample size of 50. Once you get to a sample size of 50, then from there, right, you're going to be able to determine what's going on, right? And so again, what I mean by that is to be like, all right, cool. With the sample size of 50 here, I can see, all right, what are my reply rates? What are my open rates? What am I doing? And I just tell people to look at it, right? Like if you have a 0% reply rate, maybe video isn't for you, right? And you have the data to say so,
right?
If you have a 5% reply rate and like a 40% open rate, it's working. Okay, now it's like, are my videos too long? Am I sending my emails at the wrong time? Like it's always tweaking these little things. But I tell people if you have a 0% reply rate and you've sent 50 videos, the industry might not be receptive to those videos, which I'm okay in saying that because there may be certain tactics, you do them and it just does not resonate with these people. So like, okay, maybe we need to get rid of that. We'll come back to it at a later date. But what you're looking at is really a sample size of 50 and you can get there by the end of the second week if you're doing them today.
Yeah, that makes a ton of sense. And even if, let's say you get that 0% reply rate, it's probably important to look one layer deeper as well as to who are the personas that we're sending this to. Because maybe the industry is fine, but you know, going back to your previous point, if you're sending to all IT and security folks, there could be a second persona that you all have a value prop or a use case for that it could be a lot more relevant for.
Absolutely.
All right. So the next thing I want to dig into, and we've touched on bits and pieces of this, is video for prospecting, but for really early stage startups. So my whole world is working with early stage startups where the issue often comes down to bandwidth. We've all these great ideas. We've got data to back up that they work. And we have all these things that we know we should be doing and using, but we just don't have time to do them all. So do you have any tips for early stage folks when it comes to leveraging video efficiently in their outreach? You already mentioned some really great tips of, hey, keep it small, right? Do 5 a day. That's not a crazy ask, but any other tips for folks that are especially lean trying to implement this?
I would say, let's go even deeper here. Everything comes down to time management. A lot of the stuff that I tell people, like, oh, how do I do? I'm like, how are you managing your time? That's ultimately going to tell what you need to be doing. So look at your calendar for the week and block off 30 minutes, 45 minutes. And let's go even deeper than that because you're like, okay, so who do we talk to? If I was an early stage startup, I would figure out, all right, who are the companies that we really want? It would be amazing for a startup if we got these, right? And so write those people down. And then now I'm going to create videos for them. So that's a way that you can start engaging with people.
Yep.
So that's what I would encourage.
So just focus on really high value prospects. Like these are, you know, this is it. If I could get some of these, it would be a game changer.
Because you may feel overwhelmed by what I'm saying. I'm like, well, okay, that's a lot. Okay, cool. So pick the people that you really, really want to get business with.
Yeah.
Do the normal things you're doing and do 5 videos a day and then reach out to those individuals.
Cool. No, makes a lot of sense. It all comes down to time management, prioritization.
Yep.
You know, keep it small enough towards where it's actionable and then get to that 50 threshold and see if it's actually working.
Yep.
All right, so let's talk about tools, software. I know there's a number of companies that have added on video features. Some have started out as primarily video, like Vidyard. Love to hear about any of your favorite tools, softwares that you use. I know you've been testing out a lot of them.
There's a ton, right? There's like Loom, Drift Video, Vidyard. I mean, there's so many. The one I like the most is Drift Video because it has a chat function. You know, I send someone a video and they can chat with me live while watching the video and they don't even have to respond back to the email. So for me, I feel like that's the ease of use for the end user, which is what I care about the most at the end of the day, is how is someone engaging with me and making it easier in their life? So that's my recommendation there. And that's what I would do.
Cool.
Yep.
And you mentioned, I know this isn't sort of, we're primarily focused on video with prospecting today for the purposes of this episode, but would love to just quickly touch on videos used in other parts of the sales cycle. You mentioned it can be useful for proposals. It can be useful kind of further along your funnel. Let's just touch on that a bit. If there's any high level guidelines or ways that people should be thinking about if they're not already using video throughout their process.
So there's a lot of different ways you can do it. I'll mention a couple ones. One is handling objections. And I want you all to think about this, right? So when someone throws an objection, they want to negotiate price or things of that nature, going back and forth in email is the worst. Like it is definitely not ideal. So if I can't get you on a call, if you won't pick up your phone, easy thing for me to do is send you a video, right? Shoot over a video to you.
Totally. Yeah.
And then I can articulate my points. You could see me, right? As if we were on a Zoom anyways.
Yeah.
And then you can respond back, right? So anytime there's an objection, like, hey, reach out 6 months. We're not able to do this. They have a no decision, right? Why not just go ahead and reach out with video? Show yourself. Yeah. They can see you, right? They're going to be, oh, that's cool. So that's really important. Number two is when you're, so this is two and three are going to be similar, but when you're looking to get in front of someone, when you know that person is the decision maker. So for example, I'm Evan, let's say we're talking, right? And I need to get to Scott or something like that. And you say, hey, Morgan, yeah, Scott is the CRO here. I'm going to need to talk to him, et cetera. And I'm saying, hey, well, can we meet with Scott? He's like, no, he's super busy. So I will say, hey, Evan, you know, I know he's super busy. I don't want to mess up his schedule. However, would it be cool if I just sent him a quick video to introduce myself just so he knows who he's could possibly be working with? Yeah, Morgan, that's fine. So then now I can shoot Scott a video. He can see me, right? And if he has questions, he can reach out to me directly. So you see what I did there. I know that the competition probably isn't asking for them, right, to make a video to that person.
Right. They're stopping at the objection. They're saying, oh, can't get to Scott. We'll reach out in 6 months.
Cool. I'll just reach out in 6 months. Or like, you are the champ. You are the influencer champion. So I'll follow up with you next week, right? But I stay single threaded. I don't have insurance. I don't have deal insurance is what I call it. Yeah. So what I'm going to do is, I'm going to reach out to Scott. Tell him, hey, this is who I am. I've been working with Evan. If you got any questions, reach out to me. So now I have that line of communication. And the worst case scenario is, guess what? He doesn't respond. But I wasn't, it doesn't matter because I wasn't getting the meeting anyways because you told me no. Best case scenario is you respond. You're like, I like that video, and accelerates the deal.
Yeah.
So see, that's what you can use video, right? And then three is the proposal. It's my favorite one. So when you write out a proposal, right, you got all your stuff. And then you do a video, screen share video, and you talk about the proposal, give context to the individuals. And then what it does is it saves everyone time. You send it to the champion influencer. Let's say it's a 5-minute proposal review video. You send it to the decision maker. They watch it for 5 minutes instead of spending 30, 45 minutes with you in a meeting, and you can close a deal without ever having to do that final meeting.
Yeah. So
again, saving time, making it more actionable, and it's super simple to do.
Oh man, I love that. So on point number two, what I really love about that is, and we can make a whole, I mean, this could be a whole series on thoughtfully multi-threading, right? But what I love about that is, one, you're asking for permission. It's a really small ask that's not eating out their time. It's asynchronous communication. Yep. And then it does allow you to get directly to your decision maker in a way that's not stepping on my toes as the kind of influencer champion person. And then the last one, what I love about that is one of the hardest things about proposals is demonstrating ROI within the context of pricing, or vice versa, right? Like giving pricing with context of ROI and value. And a lot of times that is communicated verbally. It's not just kind of all on the one page or whatever you're sending, or the quote that you're sending. And then that gets lost in translation as things go up the chain internally, on the buyer side of things. And so what I love about capturing that all in a video of you walking them through it, you explaining it, you reiterating the value of why they should be buying this and why they should be doing it now, how it's going to make their world just that much better, is that doesn't get lost in translation as they share this internally. So your champion, maybe they have to go to a committee, maybe, there's certain meetings that may take place that you're not privy to, and they don't want the vendor in the room. Mm-hmm. And so I really like that. That's just a really great way for you to kind of be in the room, even when you're not invited. So they make sure that they really truly understand kind of what this proposal is and why you're presenting it the way that you are.
Exactly.
So another question here, Morgan, common mistakes people make when it comes to using video in their prospecting. I'm sure you've seen.
Yeah, I got a couple.
I'm sure you've seen it all. Yeah.
Yeah. So number one is they look at themselves when they do the video. This is small key. The thing is, like, if you're on Zoom, like, most people look at themselves when they talk.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Instead of looking at the camera.
Got it.
The camera is where your audience is.
Right.
If you look at yourself, you get self-conscious, like, I don't want to do this. Camera, different story, right? So I got my Mac. I'm looking at this green dot. You're on your phone. It's going to make a red dot or whatever that is. Look at the camera. That's a huge mistake that people make. Number two is, and I mentioned it earlier, but people don't smile. Like, really creepy stuff. They're just like, hey, this is me. Like, you got to make sure you smile.
Right.
Bring energy. Bring positivity. People want to see that. People want to feel like they're the welcoming piece, right?
Right.
They want that. So you got to make sure you're providing that. Number three is that this isn't a mistake. It's just something I'd encourage, is to stand up. So mistake is if you're sitting down and you don't have energy and you say, oh, I don't have enough energy for videos. Well, why aren't you standing?
Right.
Right. If you're standing, energy, right? Success, all that stuff. Right. So that's really important. I think another mistake that people make too, is they make them too long. They make 3-5 minute videos, and they make them too long because it's the last point here is they overthink it. The more you overthink this, the more you're just not going to get it done. And I want you all to think about all the things in life that you used to overthink, and now you don't, and it becomes a little bit more comfortable for you. Like, one is asking people out on dates. Like, people overthink that whole concept when it's just like, once you start doing it, you could just do it, right? Like, when you overthink it, though, it never happens. You get really nervous, right? And all that stuff, right? And two is cold calling, right? This is actually very similar to cold calling, right?
Totally.
People, once they do it, they're just like, oh, wow, this is a lot easier than I thought.
Oh, I remember that anxiety when you first started as an SDR and you're like, oh my, like, do these people really want me calling them? Like, what if they're busy? What if they, you know, hang up on me? And then you do it and you're like, oh, like, what's the worst that's going to happen?
Exactly. Yeah. And then especially for founders that are on this call, this one's for you, is that, you know, you probably at some point were overthinking about starting the business, but you started the business.
Right.
Right. So you have more of an advantage than a lot of people out here because you took a huge leap that most people never take. Right. So you've already cross that bridge. Like, now it's just, hey, video is, no, it's just video, right?
Yeah.
Nothing crazy.
Yeah. Well, Morgan, we've covered a ton. I think people are walking with some really actionable tips on how to go and implement this if they're not already doing it. Are there any final thoughts, tips, that tricks you want to leave folks with to summarize?
I would say at the end of the day is to do it at least 2 or 5 a day. Like, that's really my takeaway, is try it out. Even though it makes you feel uncomfortable, try it, attempt it. I think it's just something everyone should have an understanding in terms of skill set right now. So my lasting thing is 2 to 5. I wasn't good when I first started. I got better. And it's just like with anything else. Like, I want to have as many channels to reach out to someone as possible. I don't want to just be, oh, I can only email, because what if they take away email?
Yeah.
You're done, right? So I want to learn as much as I can, because I don't know what they're going to take away at any point. And I don't know how people respond. So I want to learn all these different things.
Yep. Love it. Well, Morgan, thanks so much for coming on the show. This is really fun.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for having me.
And that's our show. If you like this episode and want to hear more, subscribe to the Bowery Capital Startup Sales Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.